Today's edition of the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast is brought to you by our friends over at Heartland Flags. They've got any kind of flag that you could possibly ever want, especially when it comes to sports flags. MLB, NASCAR, NBA, college, NFL, NHL, all these seasons are starting to get going. We've got everything kind of overlapping right now. You know, basketball started last week. I think hockey started last week. You know, MLB season's kind of it just wrapped up. We can move on from that one a little bit. But and then college, of course, is going all year round. You got to get your new flag. You got to get that out in front of your house, your apartment, whatever. Get it up inside your house so you can show off who your favorite team is. I've purchased multiple flags from Heartland Flags. I've got a really cool Cyclone Nation flag up in my bedroom. I've got a St. Louis Cardinals one. We have an American flag that we got from Heartland Flags as well in our living room. Check them out. You can give them a call at 515-282-7603, or you can check out their showroom at 3719 Southwest 9th Street in Des Moines. Or check them out online at heartlandflags.com. They are the presenting sponsor of the seniors every single week here on cyclonefanatic.com, and they are very, very good to us. So check them out, 3719 Southwest 9th Street in Des Moines. Give them a call, 515-282-7603, or check them out online at heartlandflags.com. I promise you will not be disappointed. What's up, Rob Gray?
I'm impressed. I've actually taken a deeper dive into the flag inventory, and you've got these wind socks for your garden. They're gorgeous too.
You're gonna get that parrot one, aren't you?
That's nice. Look, they got some Christmas themed ones. I mean, any holiday,
Do you think they have any that would attract birds? I know you like birds.
I do like birds. I'm not sure if they would necessarily attract them. It would just kind of help that with the overall decor around, say, like your bird feeder and everything else. But beautiful, beautiful stuff. Obviously, I'm sure they're...
What is your bird feed of choice?
We usually do sunflower seeds. We do suet because we have a lot of, woodpeckers out near the, our little woodland backyard and all that. So,
right.
I enjoy birds. I do.
Your face lit up when I asked you about birds. You were ready. It looked like as excited as you've ever been to talk about anything on the seniors.
Well, I don't know if that's true, but I'm very excited to talk about, looking back at the Oklahoma game and all the big sporting events we've got coming up. And had one yesterday with the men's basketball team and women's getting back on the floor.
Two of them, men and women's. This is like the busiest time of year.
We're at
that point now where Chris and I are sitting and we're arguing about whether or not I'm going to go to Kansas.
Yeah.
Or if I'm just going to go to the basketball game.
I remember this time of year well.
Mm-hmm. It's only been a year.
Yeah, it has. And it is. It's an exhilarating time of year, but it's also a draining one. Because, you do right. have to, it's a lot of time, a lot of different mix and match types of stuff. But also, making those decisions about because you've got another nice doubleheader on Friday, of course, with the women at noon and the men that night.
Yeah. What do you think about the noon game time?
I don't know. I presume fans are going to come out just like they did for the exhibition. So nice little novelty thing. Maybe some people get their kids out of school early, make a day of it, heading into the weekend and a night of it, of course, too, as these games now, quote unquote, count both for the men and women.
I don't like it because it means that I'm going to eat two walking tacos from home.
Ooh.
I already did it yesterday. I can't do it again on Friday.
But aren't they delicious?
Yeah, but it's bad on my waistline.
Yeah, yeah. Tell me about it. You don't have to worry about your waistline until you're a bit older, dude.
Oh, yeah. So, it was kind of an interesting Matt Campbell press conference this morning.
It was?
Coming off the loss to Oklahoma. What were you more interested by what he said about the quarterbacks or what he said about the running backs? The competition that is, I don't know that it's like open. I feel like it's already been open, but it's like... the thing that I really liked that he said was how eventually he wants every position to be that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
the competition is the lifeblood of a program.
Right.
And I know that every coach, and I'm thinking about focusing on this, because he said repeatedly to us that he enjoys practice more than the games because of the development that goes on, the sorting of who's going to be at that heightened level, who's going to be at that 100% level all the way through Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and carry that over versus who's going to think that, hey, I played at a pretty high level on Saturday, how much do I really need to bring it on Tuesday or whatever. So that's intriguing, just maybe how much fun he has and differences maybe. Because I know, again, every program is trying to figure out through practice who's going to play.
Right.
But it sounds like with him and his staff, this is a weekly thing. I mean, you might have a big game on Saturday, and boom, if you practice like you just expect that big game leads to next week's start, I think that's going to be a sorely mistaken position to take in this program and in a lot of programs. But I know with some, there's a little bit more of that carryover. You know, you forgive a little bit. And I think, again, that comes with added depth, too. If you have guys that you know, it's a 1A situation. It's not 1, 2, 3. It's a 1, 1A, 1B situation up and down the depth chart. You've got it puts pressure on guys, and that's good kind of pressure because it's always going to bring out the best in the players and in the staff. And I think it's refreshing to hear it expressed that way, I guess, as far as the approach goes.
I think it's just nice to hear a coach come out and pretty much say, you know, no matter how well you play on Saturday, you're not safe if you're not coming in and doing your job every single day, you know. And I wouldn't be surprised if that wasn't the case previously. I don't know. I guess I don't know what kind of read you get on it, but that's kind of what I've kind of gathered over the last, you know, whatever, 10 months. But it's just like guys being held more accountable, mm-hmm. I guess, is kind of how I'm seeing it.
I think there's something to the fact that when you have great depth, you have much more – it's much easier to hold people accountable.
Mm-hmm.
And he's talked about building toward that, and obviously every program builds toward that. But we're seeing it happen in front of our eyes with a lot of true freshmen playing, a lot of people – that have been in the program for a while that are either no longer in the program or just aren't seeing the field. That's absolutely what you want. I mean, feeling safe means you feel like you've got there, right?
Right.
So you've flatlined. I don't care what kind of achievement you've, you know, put together. If you flatline, I mean, it's got to be constant growth. If it's not constant growth from every single person on the team, every single segment of the team, then, you know, you run the risk of, as he touched on today, you know, those inches situations, not getting those done. And he kind of made a direct correlation to maybe why those aren't getting done and how they're building toward that. And I remember even just as he got in, he made a big deal about, and again, others have too, but he really made a point of emphasis to talk about what guys are doing when no one's watching.
Right.
And how that's the most important time. It is by far the most important time. It's not even necessarily off-season stuff. It's just simply doing what you're not accountable to anyone except yourself. And he wants to populate the program with, you know, players who are ultimately first and foremost accountable to themselves, because then that's going to, think of how that's going to spread in every way, you know, with the relationships and everything else.
Right. And that's what he was talking about with Alan Lazard, where, you know, Alan is one of those guys, and you want to see those, your best players be those guys, because those are the ones that the young guys come in and they look at and it's like, I want to be like him. You mm-hmm. know, I want to do it the way that he's doing it. And that's the example that they, and, you know, it makes you think back to when we talked all about how many of these last recruiting classes, how many people have left, and how many, how there's just no depth in those upper tier classes right now at Iowa State. And that's a lot of the big problem, is that there's just not those guys that are there to set the foundation and say, this is how you do it on a week to week basis. This is how you do it every day and come in and get the job done and then go out there on Saturday and you're going to be successful.
Yeah. And, so many things about that are interesting, but what's also interesting is a lot of stress about playing for the seniors. You're hearing from people like,
yeah.
you know, up and down the roster, but particularly say a Joel Lanning or Lazard. But those guys have basically become seniors, voted captains, number of guys who are in that junior, Kamari Cotton Moya,
yeah.
in that situation. So you've got a broadened senior class, even though there weren't that many who are making a big impact as true seniors. So
that's what I like about Iowa State's roster right now is that you've got some of these guys that are going to be when, say, like Carson Epps is a senior. You know, Deshante Jones will be a junior too. Carson Epps will have played 4 years. Deshante Jones will have played three. There will be all these guys that have been on the field for so long that know how to get the job done. And, you know, they'll be the ones that are leading the younger kids that are showing them how to get it done. And that's what makes this roster still kind of exciting, even though they haven't won, you know, they've only won one game this season.
Yeah, and we see the more, you know, more explosive plays. We see the
– those guys are obviously just an example. There's more – there's a lot more of them like that, but those were just the first two popped in my head.
Yeah, and what we're hearing about guys who aren't seeing the field and presumably then redshirting, obviously. You're building it, and that, you know, I know it's been used ad nauseum, but it was used in Rhodes' regime as well, the culture. You get that kind of experience where you've been mentored to by people who hold themselves accountable, and then – and it's a large group, and it's the mainline guys, the guys who are standing out. And then that bleeds down, like you say, to guys who are sophomores and freshmen now making an impact. And then they're going to become those guys. You really, you don't want, you know, you can't say for sure, but if you don't see any much attrition that way, you're really building that sense that these, you don't have to worry about these guys working. And then when everybody gets together, man, they're working on the finer points. They're working on taking it to the next level, not trying to figure out, oh, is that guy going to do what he's supposed to do?
Yeah. And that's the difference between Iowa State and Kansas is that Kansas doesn't have many of those young guys. You know, they're 1-8 teams that have done it in two completely different ways.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you can see when you look at Iowa State's too deep, you can see the direction. But when you look at Kansas's, it's like, I don't know, you know, where are they going?
Yeah, it seems like it's definitely a longer haul fix. And obviously it's been, you know, for Iowa State without having more than three wins for the past three seasons, and obviously they'd have to win out to eclipse three wins this season. You know, it's been down for a while. I mean, I think where Kansas is at now, if, and this is a big if, they're able to recruit at a pretty high level, as Campbell and his staff have shown they've been able to in a short period of time, they're sort of like where Iowa State was two seasons ago.
Right.
That at this point, I believe it's much harder to recruit to Kansas than to Iowa State.
Mm-hmm.
And that's in part because of the momentum built on the 2016 and 2017 classes at Iowa State. So it's interesting to look at that game. You know, we haven't touched much on the last game because we, you know, wrote a lot about it and all that. And
it's been like 5 days now too.
Yeah, and it's kind of
forever.
And it's the same story, right?
Yeah.
You know, you do a lot of good things, but ultimately not enough good things. And when it comes down to that, make it or don't make play, you know, that's going to break it one way or the other. Just not getting it done. But
I want to get your opinion on. So this is one thing that just popped in my mind from that game. As an old school newspaper guy, what do you think of Mike Warren's mom talking to a reporter before the game about his injury status?
I think that it's something that has been done in the past. Mm-hmm. I mean, even you can go back, but now that everything is heightened with social media, you know, in terms of the so many more people see things. I mean, sometimes if those types of things popped up, well, you read about it in the print edition of the paper, and I mean, heck, you didn't even have the internet.
Right.
That was it. So people would talk about it. They'd call into sports radio or talk amongst themselves around that old water cooler. So I get why it's done, but I think if I'm, and this is just me putting on my parent hat with two very younger kids that are probably not going to play Big 12 sports in all likelihood, but I don't know why I really go out there and say anything about it. I think it's pretty clear, as we talked about last week, and Chris had some insight on, of course, that, hey, David Montgomery's a really good running back.
Right.
And Nwangwu is as well. I mean, so you're going to get pushed for carries. You're going to get pushed. And
this is exactly what we're talking about with this. You can have a big game on Saturday, but if you're not getting the job done every day, you're going to get passed up.
Yeah.
And I think that's a lot of what this situation could be. And it's almost that – it's just that situation personified.
Yeah.
You know?
And I think the hope has been with Campbell, because it cropped up early in the season, the hope has been that this creates – I mean, there's an equally intense fire burning in every single person eligible to earn carries, earn snaps, and everything else. And I'm just not sure, you know, judging by what we've seen, that that's been equally intense. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with pretty evenly splitting your carries. I mean, even teams with star running backs, unless they don't have anything else, they don't want to run them 35 times.
Right.
You know, ideally, you'd probably rush them 18, 20, maybe 22 times. And for teams that have elite running games, they're going to rush the ball probably 60, 40. That is, if they can move the ball consistently that way without having to resort. So.
Well, I bet if we went back and looked at Toledo's stats from last year, I bet they didn't have very many running backs get more than 20 carries in a game.
Yeah. I mean, you had Hunt. I mean, they've had star running backs in recent years, but it didn't mean that that's the sole thing. And I'm not sure why. Maybe because Iowa State's been struggling, not just the last few seasons. I mean, even the Rhodes Renaissance, which is great as it was to get to bowl games in three or four seasons and darn near four straight, you know, it's not like you were doing 8-9 wins.
Yeah.
So I think there's this thought that there has to be the savior, more or less, on one side of the ball that's doing so much more than everybody else, whereas a lot of your successful teams, you don't have to do that. And that makes that person who is equally as talented not have to play that role, but just be, you know, maybe featured, but not necessarily that much more than anyone else. And that just lends itself to better production all around.
See, and that's kind of a good segue into the quarterback situation. You know, Jacob Hart gets the start on Thursday night. And it kind of sounds like that's not really even anything that's set in stone. It could change from game to game, just based on who they're playing. So, I mean, right now today, I wouldn't be surprised at all if Joel Lanning was the first quarterback out there on Saturday.
Yeah, and I mean, how often has Campbell talked about situational football?
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to go after matchups, but this all ties into the practice too. I'm certain from everything that I've been hearing, both those guys practice hard.
Yeah.
I mean, Nick Fett was talking about how they're both great leaders. I mean, personality-wise, they're different, and they're both happy when either one of them is out on the field. But yeah, I mean,
I don't think they could have come from two completely different walks of life. Like, I don't think they could get any further apart, but
yeah, in terms of the you know, the hype and then the route that Park had to take, and but both a lot of adversity along the way with Lanning, with the different offensive coordinator every year, and you know, coming from just absolute winning stock all the way, and you know, being a part of a team that hasn't won a lot of games, and then Park being the highly touted four-star that couldn't catch on at Georgia and having to go off and not necessarily even play football all that time, but just bide his time and find his way out of the field another way. So I think that adversity is going to help those guys. And, yeah, there are times where you look at Kansas' rush defense, ninth in the league if you incorporate all the games, including the non-conference. And I know Iowa State's it's pretty darn close to them, but, you know, both teams will be trying to run the ball a lot, and that would seem to lend itself to the thought that Lanning might be on the field a little bit more than he was last week. And you know, you change with there doesn't have to be a guy. There doesn't have to be a guy. If one guy gives you a skill set that's going to help you in a particular game, in a particular matchup, better than the other guy, at least on paper, and then you change on the fly, if that doesn't turn out to be the case, it would be crazy not to you know, shift things up quite a bit.
Right. So I'm going to assume that we both think that Iowa State's going to win.
Yes.
Do you think that they'll cover? Is it still at 11.5 right now? I know it was when it opened.
I think they will cover. Obviously, last week I thought that Oklahoma was going to cover, and the Cyclones' defense in particular played a lot better than I thought it would.
On the Cyclone Fanatic tailgate show, we were on KXNO, and right in like the last minute, they started to play the music, and Chris asked me my prediction. And then the music started playing while I was trying to think of my prediction. And I just panicked, and I said 45-35. I was just 10 points too high on each. But, yeah, I felt pretty good about that because I just panicked and I just said something.
Yeah, I think I'd been something like 45-21 or somewhere in that range. But, the fact that we're seeing growth, I'd say, on the defensive side of the ball. Mm-hmm. And there is a certain degree of efficiency the offense got, too. I mean,
I feel like the defense just always keep – they just get killed by big plays consistently.
Yeah.
You know? Like, that's – a lot of the times, it just – it's not as much like them being, like, grinded down or anything like that. It's just they give up, like, a 60-yard run or something.
Well, 9 seconds after they take the lead on the landing run, boom, one play. And the lead's gone, and they're, you know, hanging around after that. But
right.
That's a tough deal. But at the same time, I think the game plan we talked about, blitzing a lot, which meant corners and safeties. You got a lot of guys on islands against Baker Mayfield, Dede Westbrook, and some other really talented receivers. You still held Oklahoma about 150 yards under their average. I don't know how many points, probably 10 to 12. Mm-hmm. I like that game plan. I think when you're Oklahoma's going to get their big plays.
Right.
Against just about anybody. So I think with that kind of game plan, I don't know if you need necessarily that kind of game plan against Texas, but I just like where the defense is at in terms of executing what they're asked to do.
Right.
And one-on-one, sometimes you get beat, particularly by elite receivers and elite quarterbacks. I think Kansas has shown recently in particular they can hang for a while, and the defense is usually what
their
allows them to hang.
Is good enough to usually hang for a little bit, yeah.
But then when it goes, it goes. I mean, West Virginia, they're hanging. It goes. You know, Oklahoma, they're down 7-3 early in the second quarter in Norman. Give up 49 straight points.
Yeah.
They don't have a lot of quarterback, and they've got, you know, some decent runners, but I don't know. They got a decent pass rush. They just have so many incomplete parts of the puzzle, and so they're not even close to being complete. Whereas the Cyclones, I think, are fairly close mm-hmm. in some of those areas, and I think they can pull away eventually, as long as there aren't bad mistakes, as long as it's not minus two or three in turnovers. I think they can cover, but you know, win by a couple touchdowns, maybe three touchdowns in Lawrence.
Did you get an opportunity to watch the exhibition yesterday?
I didn't get that much of an opportunity because I was out doing some stuff, but certainly paid attention. I was interested.
You were very vague with that. I was out doing some stuff.
Well, there's a lot of yard work to do. It was one of the last really nice days, and was just listening here and there.
Uh-huh.
Since I'm not on site every game, it's in your able hands.
Thank you.
But I think the question we're going to be asking probably all the way through the non-conference is, how are they going to solidify themselves on the front court?
Yeah.
Because we know what they got in the back court, and who's going to, based on what they do at the Sioux Cup complex and, of course, in these non-conference games, prove themselves to be the ones who warrant getting the most minutes once the Big 12 rolls around.
See, and the thing is, like, I know you have to solidify, like, you have to know what you're going to get from those guys. But what if what you know what you're going to get from them is just not very much, at least offensively? You know, you're going to get rebounds, you're going to get defense from them, but you're not going to get that many points. But the reality of the situation is, you are going to get a lot of points from your guards.
Yeah.
Like, there's not going to be very many nights where a team can shut down all of those guys, or they're all going to be off shooting on the same night. That's just not going to happen very often.
And let's not forget projected Mr. Double-Double,
yeah,
Deontay Burton as well, who can be like a –
he almost had one last night,
yeah,
16-9.
Nice. And he can post guys up as well. So basically, yes, what you need from those guys is defense and rebounding. And if they can give you that at a even just an above-average level, you'd hope it would be a very good level. I mean, you got to like what this team is going to be capable of doing, not only in the Big 12 and before that, but in March as well.
Yeah. I was talking with Chris last night when we were sitting there, and it's like you watch some of these guys and the way they whip the ball around sometimes, the way they'll pass and transition, it's like they're the Showtime Cyclones.
That's, you hope, I guess, maybe against better competition, you can still see that a little bit.
I would hope so. But
think of what good ball handles they are and how Monte's always seeing not only –
and that's what it is.
One step, two steps.
Made me see that comparison. It's like these guys are, they're going to be the ones running out in transition, throwing the behind-the-back passes or whip-arounds and stuff like that. And it's just – it seems like they all just want to share the ball.
Well, they talked about that on Media Day, too, how, yeah. I mean, every one of those guards, you know, Naz, Matt, Monte, and it talked about how the one of those other guys is always putting them in the best position to mm-hmm. be set, to be squared up, to get off the shot in you know, the least covered way possible. And that's what they live for. And they've been within – I mean, let's not forget how much Coach Hoiberg preached, you know, playing yeah. for each other and – that carried over to Coach Prohm and got a second Sweet 16 in 3 years. So, I mean, they seem to have fully adopted that mindset. And when you've got that, and about, again, let's say one of them starts off 0 for 6, even though they felt like they're wide open. Well, they can do so many other things, particularly right. if the defense improves, as they've made a point to say that it has.
The thing that stuck out to me about the defense is, like, even when they would play against a team like this, you'd watch them play defense, and it didn't look like – it's just like they're out there playing defense, but it doesn't look like they're playing defense, yeah. playing hard defense. Like, that's what it seemed like these guys – they had that – the intensity was just wrapped up. They had – the effort was there, too, with it, as much as we have to play defense in order to go play offense.
Well, how many exhibition games have we seen over the last – you know, even since the string of NCAA tournament appearances started, where you face a team – that's been on, you know, barnstorming, making money,
yeah.
you know, and getting pummeled. And the Cyclones end up beating them by 8 after leading by 18 because they just get wide open layups at some point. You know, there's lapses uh-huh. and protracted lapses.
They didn't give up a point in the paint until the first possession of the second half.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, again, Sioux Falls. But,
well, yeah, yeah, it is Sioux Falls. But like I said, I like the effort. It didn't seem like didn't always see that in the past, you know.
Yeah, it has to be, yeah, all five guys.
Yeah.
And that's, you know.
It seems like everybody wants to play defense more than it is, like I said, more than it's just a necessary evil. Like, they want to be on the defensive end stopping someone.
Yeah, well, that's obviously exciting because that hasn't, as we know, always yeah. been the case. And if it truly is the case, and it remains the case game after game after game after game, I mean, everyone, you play enough games, there are going to be some clunkers.
Right.
Either on one end of the floor or both ends of the floor, maybe. But if that's consistent, definitely exciting times could be in store for the next several cold months eventually.
That press could be interesting, too. It'll be intriguing.
Yeah, for a team that really hasn't done it a whole lot
yeah.
to see how much, again, because some of these elements, how well they share the ball and everything else have been well set in stone for a while. But mm-hmm. most players like to press, though. So that's another thing. It's not like they're being asked to do something somewhat new
right.
that they don't enjoy doing.
Savannah State comes into Hilton Coliseum as the 341st team in KenPom.
Mm. Sounds about right. They seem to usually be in that area.
What are they again? Like the Jaguars or something?
I'm trying to remember. That's what I was trying to think. Are they the Jaguar? I think they're some type of big cat.
The
you know, we should have done our research on
the Savannah State Big Cats.
Yeah.
It is the Jaguars.
Yes. Well done.
Wait. No.
Oh wait. No, it was the Jags over Savannah State. We just, you know, we dropped the ball in Savannah State here. It's our bad. It's our bad on that
oh,
one.
Oh, man. Oh, well.
But all right. That's all right.
Yeah. Oh, it is.
It's Tigers.
The Tigers.
We got the big cat right.
Yeah. There we go. The Tigers. So, yeah, we'll have CFTV Live tomorrow. We're going to do a basketball show.
Okay.
Not tomorrow, but I'm saying in the future. We are going to do a basketball show. We're trying to figure out the logistics of that situation and some other stuff with it. But so, yeah, we'll have that tomorrow. As always, 12:15 Wednesday on the trail. Adam and I will be back. It'll be a signing day special edition of On the Trail.
Very nice.
And then Cyclone Fanatic Radio Show will be back this week, 6 to 7 on 1460 KXNO. All the usual stuff over there. And then, you'll have an advance. You'll have some. If you didn't go back and didn't read the Where Are They Now piece, go back and do it. Very, very well done.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. Marquez Gilstrap, a remarkable, inspiring story. I always, mm-hmm. I love inspiring stories and being able to share those. And his is certainly one, as is Cantrell Horton, his mentor. Hopefully we'll reconnect with him for Where Are They Now down the road.
Have you targeted the next one yet?
It's probably going to be football.
Okay.
That's, you know, ideally we alternate unless they're just cross wires and you can't get, you know, a hold of a couple of options. Don't really want to go too much more into that, but looking forward to it as always.
Sounds good. You got anything else to add?
Not really. Just busy time. Enjoy the Hoops doubleheader on Friday.
Oh, I will say, if you are it's still interested in going down to Lawrence this weekend, I think there's still spots left on the bus trip, and that is on the Cyclone Fanatic homepage. Adam Gray will get back to you promptly if you go on there and sign up for that.
You know it'll be a fun trip, too.
Oh, yeah, it'll be a great trip. $100. You get a ticket. You get your ride down to Lawrence. You get some pizza. You get to sit on the bus and drink and enjoy the company of Cyclone fans all day. It'd be a great time.
For sure.
Thanks again to our presenting sponsor, Heartland Flags. Give them a call, 515-282-7603, or check out their showroom at 3719 Southwest 9th Street in Des Moines. I'm going to get on heartlandflags.com and buy the Sonics flag, I think, this week.
You're going to pull the trigger on that one?
I'm going to pull the trigger. All right. Thanks, Rob Gray.
Thank you, Jared.
Have a great week, everybody.